and welcome back to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror, a supernatural retrospective. We are your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We're here to talk about more episodes of Supernatural, giving you those good quality reviews, and see what we got going all the way through season 8. This week we watched Goodbye Stranger, Freaks and Geeks, and Taxi Driver. These episodes, again, I kind of thought they were fillers, except Goodbye Stranger, because I knew that episode. And then we watched them, and I was like, oh, I guess we do have stuff to talk about, actually.
Yeah, you were like, oh, we just got the last episode to talk about. I'm like, hello?
The thing is, I think season 8, it's a little interesting, because most of them aren't fillers, and I think I just get bad, because the last two were fillers, and they were boring fillers.
We did have our run-in of the fillers. So you're just like, I don't want to watch more fillers.
I think the thing is, now looking back at it, in the beginning of season 8, there's no fillers. Mm-hmm. But now that we're getting into stuff, all of a sudden they start sprinkling in fillers, and I don't like it because I want to get back with the program, you know?
Well, they needed time for Cass to get brainwashed.
Yeah, I guess, because that's what Goodbye Stranger is about.
It is. Starts off horribly
with Cass killing Dean.
My fave, Cass, murdering his bestie, Dean. So horrible. They pan out. A warehouse full of Deans.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Horrible.
I don't remember what I had thought about this. Like, I honestly don't remember.
Probably blocked it out because it was so terrible.
Well, I think I was like, what is going on here? What could possibly be happening? We see a little bit of Naomi. So I think I kind of saw it coming. And I wasn't completely blindsided.
Right. Because we'd seen Naomi before.
Yes. And so this made sense in a way that this would make sense for Cass's character.
Right, and she had already been controlling him a little bit, you know, with the Simandrial thing. But now she's got full-on control of our boy.
Mm-hmm.
Unacceptable.
So really, with this episode pretty much being about Cass, he's killing all these demons, and he is trying to find the angel tablet.
Bum, bum, bum.
That was the one thing that I also kind of forgot. This is the interesting side of season 8, because where season 7, it was about the Leviathans, they get the Leviathan tablet. Season 8, it seems that it's about the demon tablet. But in reality, there's a much bigger picture going on. And actually, the angel tablet is the key. But it doesn't seem like that, because we're only on episode 17.
Fair.
Which is not even half of the season. It's a little interesting to me that they've introduced, and they haven't even brought in the full force of season 8, I think, until later.
I mean, we're definitely past half of season 8.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
But it has a couple more episodes. I forgot Goodbye Stranger was this quote-unquote early,
yeah.
I guess. I was like, oh, we're already here? Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, like, of course, because they need the angel tablet for their drama.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget when they introduce stuff. I'm just like, when do we get this? And then unexpectedly it hits me. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. This episode.
Yeah. It's weird going back to it and saying, wow, is this early? Oh wow, we get this. But then if you look back to it, really, it makes sense why it has to be where it is.
I'm getting better at episodes and their numbers and where they are in the season. Because before I was just like, yeah, I remember I liked this episode. Right? But I never thought about like the context like around it.
Oh,
so I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, right, this would have been, this makes sense that it's here. Because, you know, the episode you rewatch, I'm just like, let's just rewatch this. I'm not watching two before and then two after of the episode I want to watch.
So Cass is finally coming to see the boys after all this time. I don't even know the last time we saw Cass. Was it Hunter Hawaii or Hunter?
It was one after that, or one or two, like Torn and Frayed, I think.
Was it? Did we see him actually?
No, because wasn't that the trial one? And he had left before then.
Is it Simandrial?
Yes.
That was it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was the last time we saw him, because he had to take his body to heaven and he never came back. Camber,
yeah. Yep. But thank God Cass is killing all these demons, which I find funny that Dean and Sam are sitting here like, should we go after this thing that's killing demons? Do I send them flowers? Is that what you do when someone's killing demons for you? Send them flowers? What kind of flowers should I get? And I really appreciated that, because
I think you should send Cass some flowers. He really needs them right now. He's in a tough spot.
He really is.
And he's acting like it, too.
Well, and I kind of forgot how much the boys still kind of don't trust Cass. I say the boys. Dean's still hesitant. But I think Sam's still on edge, especially after what happened from season 6. Fair. That I think he knows maybe to take what Cass is doing with a grain of salt. Although, Sam, I'm pretty sure, is the one that says, maybe it's not him. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't have any control or something. You know what I mean?
Right, because they had talked about this before. They're like, Cass seems weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is strange. And then, you know, he disappears for a while. And that was season 6. Cass would disappear for a while and then come back, but it was a little bit weird. So now they're like, I don't know what's going on here. We haven't seen him for a while. We don't know what he's been doing. He never answered our phone calls. Something's up.
Well, I think the boys maybe can figure out that Heaven may have brought Cass back from purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
So Heaven is the reason why he's acting weird. And that wouldn't be very surprising. I'm knowing shocked. What. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Shocked. Shocked. That Kevin is brainwashing him again. That, mm-hmm. So I think the boys kind of unconsciously know, and they know Cassis tells, especially back from season six, he was a little off, and Cassis is just not being himself now.
Oh, he's super weird now with the boys.
Yeah, he's being super tortury. He's not talking to them. He's kind of going off the deep end about stuff, and I don't know. Just something's a little off about him.
He's literally Naomi's puppet.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll go down there and he just robotically does things. And then when he's back, they cut to scenes with him and Naomi. He's just freaking out and he's... You can see the emotion on his face. But when he's down there with the boys, he's robot Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Old angel Cass.
And I think it's really interesting that Dean has known something's been off since Purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, A, it's interesting because I don't think Cass was really being reprogrammed until later on after Purgatory, obviously.
Yeah.
But I like that because Dean knows Cass so well, he knows that there's trauma in Cass right now because of Purgatory.
Right.
And that whole thing of where he thought he lost him, and he even said to Sam right away, I think there's something wrong with him. Like, this doesn't make any sense. There's something wrong with him. Like, I don't trust him. But I think he was just in denial about the trauma and what he felt for his friend for leaving him,
right,
thinking he left him. Mm-hmm. And then Cass, you know, explains to him like, no, you didn't leave me,
right.
So I think it was this weird in between of he didn't want to trust Cass because he was almost like projecting his emotions onto Cass's maybe betrayal.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
I mean, that would be a betrayal for Dean because that's Cass sort of abandoning him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we all know abandonment issues.
Yeah, seriously.
Dean does not do well with abandonment. So, and I mean, of course it is suspicious. Dean was right. Hunter instincts kicked in. How did he get out of Purgatory? Dean was right. We end up seeing that scene,
mm-hmm.
and it's them struggling to get out. And it's like, that is weird. How did he get out?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it makes sense that then he comes back and he's like, okay, yeah, this is really, really, really weird. I don't trust this. We got to find out what's going on with Cass. I don't know, but it's not good.
I did enjoy the editing between the scenes with Naomi and Cass and then the reverse of with the boys. How Cass will just be sitting there like, what should I tell them?
Mm-hmm.
And then you think he's sitting with the boys and really he's with Naomi, and they keep cutting back and forth where mm-hmm. Naomi says something and Cass immediately repeats it to them. It was a really nice, sexy shot.
I mean,
I really enjoyed this.
I mean, also when they would cut and then it would be like silent again, like the silence you can hear.
Yeah.
And then
like
loud sounds and stuff, and then the like deafening silence.
Yes.
That was really good. This lends more to my puppet theory because he kept coming and going from his vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And so his vessel would just be kind of empty standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's, I feel like, one of the reasons why he would have sort of angelic robotic face on. Neutral. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. like head empty, no thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Also in this episode, we have Meg is back.
Aww.
It's been a while since we've seen her. I know. Okay, listen. It's always this weird catch-22. Like, I hate Crowley because he's a horrible villain, but I also love Crowley. And it really hurts me inside because I always watch this stuff that's going on with him and Kevin, and it kind of breaks my heart that that's happening. And the same thing with Meg, because remember, who did Meg kill?
Mm-hmm.
So that always hurts me. By the way, it was Joe and Ellen is... Yeah. Who man killed, if you weren't aware. And so it really kills me inside when I'm like, I like Meg. And I like her lines, like the... Oh, okay, to be fair, I didn't know it was this line. And I just said it before she said it. Because Sam is asking, well, you don't care if all these people die? And I was like, hi, I'm Meg. I'm a demon. And then she immediately says, hi, I'm Meg. I'm a demon. Oh my god, yeah, it was right here.
Predicted
because
it.
That's so perfect, because all the time the boys are constantly asking Meg or Crowley or like just any demons, like, what, you don't care if this is happening? It's like, hi, I'm a demon. Have you met me? This is what demons do.
I'm a demon. You know what that means?
Like, Meg's sassy lines. I just absolutely love it. Hi, I'm Meg. I'm a demon. And I liked her whole role in this, that she's trying to help them and do all this stuff and get all this information for the Crips. I do love, too, that they bring the canon and lore back into this about her running with Azazel and Lucifer and Lucifer heading all these Crips and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
It is very nice to put a nice bow on top, and then the boys aren't penalizing really her for it because at the time, you know, it was her job. It's like what she did. It's what now she's like, okay,
right.
This is way past. This is two apocalypse past. I'm on the winning side now. I don't want to die.
It's like, I'm just trying to live, trying to pick the better side for it.
Yeah, and Crowley hates her, so.
That's true.
However, she never finds out that they're actually shutting the gates of hell. I thought they told her, Maybe Crowley told her at the end. Did Crowley tell her at the end? I don't remember.
Shoot, I don't remember if he actually said it or not.
I don't remember, because he was trying to do this whole, why are you with them?
Actually, yes, he did. He was like, they're trying to shut the gates of hell. Hello, killing me and you.
But she didn't care.
She's like, whatever. She's like, oh, you had me at killing you, Crowley.
She missed. Oh, God, I know I don't want Crowley dead, but man, Meg, you should have better aim.
I know.
I don't know what you were going to thought, because she was stabbed instead. And I was like, oh, no, Meg. Oh, no.
That was sad.
I kind of forgot that she died in this one. It didn't take me until we saw her being tortured from the demon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
I saw her. She had the really blonde hair. I was like, oh no.
This is where she dies.
This is it. This is it. And the whole thing, talking to Sam, talking about her unicorn. I was like, oh no, this is it.
This was interesting, actually, because I never realized this before, because when Sam and Meg are talking about, you know, his unicorn, his love, and blah, 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 and all this stuff, and this bonding stuff, which I really love. Again, that Meg brings up for canon, like, I was in that noodle. I know what happens. I know you real, Sam. I know.
It was a really good touch.
Yeah, it's just like the little things. And she genuinely kind of cares. A little bit, I say. It's that whole thing with Ruby of when they said, listen, we were human, we're just really corrupted. So I think they somewhere in there kind of care and want to know, and maybe you're curious about it. And Meg does say, you know, she's like, I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit, but whatever. Anyway, you found your unicorn. Oh, goody. Mm-hmm. And she says this line to Sam about him saving her unicorn. Mm-hmm. And I kind of looked at you, Sierra, like, oh, that's referring to Cass, the whole Meg Steel thing.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I knew it was the whole ship and whatever. And I didn't really realize that she explicitly said that.
Yeah.
That, go save my lover. Go save him. I care for him a lot.
My fave.
Yeah, my fave. Which, I mean, in theory, I think I like the idea that Meg is caring for this being. And also, Cass is a nice angel. I was going to say human being. And he cares for other creatures, and he seemed to like Meg. And I think Meg...
I mean, Meg took care of him.
Yeah. Well, and I think Cass, of course, that's why Cass was like, oh, I'm a caretaker.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, I think, for Meg to be cared for by an angel who normally would be like, I should kill you, and I hate you. And in turn, crazy Cass was like, oh, no, my beautiful caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it's been a while for Meg. She's like, wow, someone actually cares for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard.
I'll be honest. It was cute. Also, it was funny. Meg sort of flirting with Cass.
Yeah.
Very cute. He deserves to be hit on and flirted with more. It's like, I mean, the right book theoretically could kill me.
Yeah.
Cass, you're so stupid. I love you.
Anyway, but we get the famous crypt scene.
Big oof.
I feel like regardless of what anyone thinks, this is a pretty big scene because this just defines, I think, Cass more as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw in the beginning, he's killing without any remorse. He's killing with no...
hesitation.
Yeah, no hesitation. And he's just listening to Naomi, and he looks like a cold-blooded killer, and he does not care. And he gets alone with Dean in this crypt when Dean doesn't want to give him the angel tablet once they find it.
Smart.
And Cass was going to kill him. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of the scene where Cass beat the shit out of Dean.
Right, classic.
Because in that moment, remember, I said that I thought Dean was a little scared that Cass maybe was going to kill him for a hot second. Just for a quick second. I think he was like, oh my God, I think I pissed him off. This dude's an angel. He may kill
him. He kind of remembered that Cass was an angel and definitely could kill him.
Yeah, like I think he was worried that somewhere he might have killed him. But after that, I think Dean was like, okay, he's never going to kill me. Like, you know what I mean? Again, I always reference the thing for the end because Cass was with him the entire time, brothers in arms. And so in Dean's eyes, I think he thinks that Cass would never really hurt him. So it's interesting here that also, to me, Dean was scared. Like, he was really scared. However, I think he thought he could break Cass out of this. Even though he was a little angry, he kept saying stuff like, I know this isn't you. I know this isn't you. To the point where, to me, I think he forgives Cass because he knows this isn't him.
Okay, when it comes down to it, when it really matters, when they're in, like, dire straits, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Like in season 6, at the end where Dean thinks Cass is dead and then he comes back and, you know, Cass is trying to apologize. He's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We'll figure it out later. Because he's alive and they're friends and that's all that matters.
Yes. So it's really interesting to me that Dean again and again believed in Cass that, come on, let's just go, man. Let's just go. I believe that you're in there. I know you're in there. We're family. Come on. Like, just break out of this.
We need you. We need you.
Yeah. Come on. Like, let's get out of here. And Cass breaks out, and he honestly doesn't even seem that phased after he has been healed, because I think he knows that obviously something is wrong and there's someone controlling, because I think Cass even says, like, what are you doing to me, Naomi? And he's like, what do you mean? What's going on?
Yeah.
What
is when he's all having his freak out?
Yeah.
They did a good job cutting that scene as well.
Yeah. And I think it also just shows Cass's end of this too, because before he's beating the crap out of Dean again, he says to Naomi, I won't hurt Dean, even though all this time before he was killing without hesitation. But I think, you know, in his mind, Cass knows this is his friend. He knew that this is the real Dean, and I can't hurt
any of the boys. He can't hurt the real Dean. See, because all those fake Deans, he's like, I won't hurt Dean. None of those are really Dean. And in his little back of his little angel brain, he knew this wasn't the righteous man he rescued from hell. So he can kill him. Just looks like him.
Yeah.
But then you get the real deal. No. Good luck, Naomi. No amount of brainwashing is going to get Cass to kill Dean.
Yeah.
Stupid.
After this entire crypt scene, the boys get away. Cass takes the angel tablet away after the connection with Naomi is finally broke. I kind of forgot that the angel tablet kind of is this mojo power that he can draw power from, Cass.
Oh, because he grabbed it and it was
I kind of forgot about that. I think that makes sense because it is a powerful tablet of word of God, you know what I mean? So it makes sense that he was able
to... Makes sense he would vibe with it, you know?
And then he could break the connection with Naomi and then just be on the run, which we do see.
Proud of him.
So with Sam and Dean, the little bit that we get at the end with them, you know, Sam is getting more sick with the trial. So I think it's interesting that Dean is, again, we're going all through this again, of Sam, stop lying to me.
Stop. I know.
Not trusting me. And I said this earlier on in like season three when of course they're not trusting each other with anything.
Right.
And it's so funny to me because I even said that the boys kind of lose this not trust between them. They just kind of outright say it. They're like, whatever. Well, I'm going to tell you what happens. We're going to deal with it how it goes. Like there's no more of this trust, not trust thing. All of them have bonehead ideas and they just tell each other and they're like, that's a stupid idea, but I guess I'm going to support you going through this stupid plan.
Like, right, with like Bobby and helping Dean summon Cass.
Seriously. Like, just, okay, this is stupid, but I'm going with you.
But you're
going
to do it on your own and that'll be worse.
And I think this may be the start of that a little bit, and then after season eight might be the total complete. I say that, and then I'm thinking
there's a lot in nine. There's a lot in nine. We'll get to that.
I forgot about that.
Right now we're in season great, okay? Leave it alone.
I guess with Sam. Sam, Dean has never really lied to Sam about anything, like, huge, other than the Michael thing, about him saying yes to Michael, even that he wasn't really lying. He was like, I'm gonna go say yes to Michael, screw you, and then left.
And the Amelia text, that was kind of lying.
Well, I mean, being untrustworthy, I should say. I'm thinking of Sam with the ruby, Sam with the demon blood, Sam trying to say, yeah, all that stuff. Kind of like that stuff.
Okay,
Sam with the soulless.
Sam's got more marks on his end than Dean
does. So I think Dean is tired of Sam not trusting him. And I think because, and Sam is smart. Sam knows that Dean is a mother hen and will fly off the goddamn handle.
That's true.
Because he's coughing up blood. So he's trying to just, you know, keep Dean calm a little bit, but at the same time, him hiding it is making it worse.
But Dean will find out.
Yeah.
He raised you, honey. He will find out. He will know.
So Dean's just tired of the lying, which makes sense. I would be upset too.
I mean, Dean's like, I can't take any more lies from anyone. Cass lying to him. He's not knowing what's going on with him. And then Sam with this trial nonsense. He could die. Dean would have to prepare for that. I mean, which, you know, he never would be. Dean's over it. He's like, we need to be truthful with each other, bud. We can't be doing these trials like this, which is fair.
Really quick, the last thing I want to say, I kind of forgot about this because it just reminded me of this, about how when Dean prayed to Cass in whenever, a few episodes ago, to watch out for Sam, and he didn't respond, and then Cass in the beginning of the episode just says, yeah, I heard you praying. I just didn't come. And Sam seemed shook.
He was
that
shook.
Dean was praying.
Yeah, he was shook.
Which is interesting because Sam knew he prayed back in like season 4 and 5 when all of like the apocalypse was going down?
Yeah, I mean, he even asked Dean to pray to get him in there in season 6. Sam does know that Dean prays to Cass, but I think he thought it was more like, hey, Cass, can you come down here really quick?
Oh, instead of this.
This seemed to be a more
special
prayer sort of type emotional thing going on here. So I think that's why Sam was so shook. He's like, phone calls weren't enough for you? Like, no, Sammy, phone calls were not enough for Dean.
Well, I think even Sam said he was praying, and of course he didn't answer Sam's calls, so he was just like, okay, I've been praying to you left and right, you're not listening to me. And I guess in my eyes now, Sam's probably shook because he's like, you didn't come to Dean's calls? What? Dean prayed to you?
Sam is worried. Yeah, he's
and
like,
you didn't go to Dean? I get me, but Dean?
Dean prayed and you didn't show up immediately 2 inches behind him? What?
I think that
something's up.
Something's weird, yeah.
Sammy gets it. He knows.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to mention, though, is Cass telling Dean Sam is messed up in ways that Cass can't fix with his angel mojo. That totally worried Dean, and he totally is kind of spiraling because of that.
I wonder if that's also maybe why he just didn't want to come down to Dean either, because he knew, he heard that he wants him to fix Sam and watch out for Sam, and then all of a sudden he looks down and he's like, I can't fix this.
And he has to tell him some bad news.
And he doesn't want to do that. And then you have Naomi on his back being like, kill Dean Winchester.
I know.
I have a lot going on right now.
He does. Poor Cass.
Where that was a very plot-heavy episode, the next episode is not.
Not so much, no.
For Freaks and Geeks, this is where we see Chrissy again. I knew we saw her again. I thought we saw her later on again. I don't know if we see her ever again after this episode.
We might, but I was like, oh, we're already seeing her again?
Yeah, okay. Which is weird because they made it seem like she was so much older than she was. And I was like, wasn't she just 12, like, two episodes ago?
I have literally no idea how old she was in the first one.
I don't know. She seemed young because her dad wouldn't want to leave her alone. I don't know. Anyway, this is just about the Chrissy episode with the vampires, and unfortunately her dad's dead, which was very sad. I felt really bad because
that was sad.
You know, I thought they were gonna make a whole point about like he died of a heart attack or something, and that would have really sucked. But then I was like, oh, maybe Chrissy, you shouldn't have gone on hunting. Anyway, though, this dude finds these children whose all family was slaughtered by vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the same thing, same as Victor. Didn't remember this dude at all. I didn't remember this episode. I think I just blocked it out of my mind because it was like kind of pointless.
This is irrelevant at this point in the...
I liked Chrissy. I liked Dean being a dad to Chrissy. Cute. I liked Dean trying to be an actual father figure, and I like it because going forward, I do see this side of Dean in other kids he meets.
He literally collects children to give fatherly advice.
I know. Well, and I think because he always wanted kids, and it makes sense. In my mind, he had Ben, who was like, I don't know, 10, right, or something?
Yeah.
And then he stayed with them for a little longer, so like 10, 11, 12, maybe, depending on how long it was.
Yeah, however long, whatever.
And then all of a sudden you have Chrissy, who's probably the same age, maybe older. I don't know how old she was. Mm-hmm. She's less than 16. So right. Then you have this kid that you also want to take care of. And then he meets these other teenagers who are around that age, like 16-ish. And so I think he is finally getting through him having children,
mm-hmm,
and being able to do this without it being his kids and being like, oh, they're not going to cry for me if I'm dead, or they're not going to go hunting for me if I'm dead.
Well, I mean, Dean has always been a caretaker. We've always seen this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's literally like a huge chunk of his identity. Taking care of Sam, you know, kind of taking care of his dad when he's there. I mean, it just makes sense that he would do this with these kids and be so worried about them hunting.
And I think he's finally reflecting on his life, too. And Sam says that.
Yeah.
About how he didn't want to be... Dean obviously didn't want to be raised as into hunting.
Yeah.
It sucked. Mm-hmm. And I think even Sam says, like, wait, you care about this? Like, we were raised in hunting. We're kind of fine. And Dean's like, no, we're not kind of fine. I'm fine because I had to live through it. But yeah, that doesn't mean I want these young kids having to go through it.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want other people to have to go through this. He's one of the people who has, like, like big trauma. But instead of being, like, even worse to people,
yeah,
because of it and blaming it on his trauma, he's trying to be better and make sure other people don't experience his trauma, like a good person.
Funny enough, I actually just read this post about this, about bad parents,
mm-hmm,
having kids who are messed up, right, and then those kids trying to be the better parent,
mm-hmm,
because they were treated poorly in, sure, having kids, and then in turn messing up them because of all the trauma,
right?
So this post was kind of matching the, should you have kids or should you just not kids, because you just want better parents for yourself. And now it may be just better to cut the cycle. And mm-hmm, it was kind of interesting. And honestly, side note, just, I think that's true.
I mean, yeah, Dean would want to make sure these kids don't go through the same terrible ordeal. He doesn't want them to have to see this bloodshed. He doesn't want them to kill vampires and werewolves all the time. I mean, he wants them to go to school and be on the honor roll and stuff. Like,
mm-hmm,
these kids actually were, which, okay, I'm impressed. I guess, good job, Victor, you psychopath.
To be fair, Victor's reasoning actually was kind of, I felt with it, about he wanted to make a better generation of hunters. And to me, it made sense because they were already in the life before we knew that he killed their entire family, right. I should say this. So in my eyes, it made sense because all I can think of is someone later,
mm-hmm,
Claire,
yeah,
that it was... I was brought into the life,
mm-hmm,
at a young age, yep, kind of like Sam and Dean would have been,
yeah,
and they're now choosing to be on the defense. Like we always said, what Sam and Dean should kind of do is just know about hunting, be on the defense, not going to look for hunts, which Chrissy does say at the end of the episode.
Right. That's good, Chrissy. That's what you should do. And
then I should be going to school. Kind of like how I think Sam was going to do. He grew up in the life,
yeah,
but guess what? He's going to go to Stanford. And then the whole thing with Dean being with Lisa, he knew the signs. Yeah. He thought there was a werewolf. He thought there was a demon. Yeah. And then he knew what to do with that going forward to make sure his life is fine.
Just to take care of his little area. You know, you read in the paper and you check it out and you're like, okay, that's kind of my thing. I'll go check it out. Although I feel like it'd be harder to impersonate an FBI agent in the town that you live in.
Well, no, but they wouldn't do that, though. That's the
thing. Well, I'm just saying that, like, their usual MO.
Or in the whole thing of you would call a hunter to maybe do some investigation, and then you'd go help out with said hunter on the hunt. Mm-hmm. I do also like that Victor brought up the current hunters. Yeah, the Winchesters are good, but they bring a lot of baggage. They even brought up Martin, who is a psychopath. I'm like, yeah, you're not wrong.
He was a psychopath. He was just crazy because the life drove him crazy because, hello, he's hunting monsters for a living.
And then they even said Garth, even though Garth is wholesome. But
there's nothing wrong with Garth.
It's Garth. Victor, it's Garth. Don't. It's Garth, though. And then he brings up Bobby, which is true. If you think about it, Bobby was fantastic and we knew him, but he even said that he was just a crazy old drunk.
He was like, do not be careful.
He was really smart, but what life was that, though? So he doesn't want these kids to turn into Bobby or Martin or even Sam and Dean. They're not having the good life that these children probably think that they could potentially have.
Our boys are suffering at all times.
So that's why I think I like the idea of this. I thought it was a good idea. They seemed to be in school. They were getting A's and all this stuff. They were doing some stuff and it made sense. But
well, I mean, maybe if there were a sort of hunter network that were more organized and connected. Meta letters. Stop.
Meta letters.
Stop.
Anyone?
And, you know, you knew the lore. You could do some training drills. The bunker, mental letters, anyone. And then I think, you know, that might work out better. You'd be somewhere central in the U.S., Lebanon, Kansas. And it would work out great. You train people. You teach them the lore, little hunter school. And you can send them out. And you keep track of them. They have enough backup. And it wouldn't be as horrible, I guess, as it would be. It's not one hunter going into a nest of vamps, one or two. You could have four or five. To make sure you clear out that nest with minimum casualties.
Well, and my thought, too, is even for people, I'm always thinking like Ben and Lisa, who were brought into the life, who knew Dean, and just was given the option of, do you want to learn about hunting for a little bit?
Right.
So now you know for future reference. So it's so scary to know this, even though it's a lot to take in the first time. Mm-hmm. But if you've had a near-death experience, I think you would want to maybe know a little bit more.
They should publish a book.
Yeah.
Hunting 101.
I know.
Basic lore.
Soon everyone would just know. That's the whole thing. It wouldn't be this insider cult anymore.
It's not like in the new age section, but people pick it up and the stuff actually works. So, I mean.
Well, I'm even thinking, remember even when Henry Winchester went to the store, whatever store it was.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah, some hoodoo store.
Yeah, so whatever it was. And he was like, you know, no, I know you sell this stuff. And the nice lady was like, no, you're mistaken, sir. And so in my eyes, I was like, oh, but that's like a different like religion that also knows the life of hunting in their own, what you said, like hoodoo, like their own way of showing it. So a lot of people, I think, know the life, witches or whatever you want to put on there, and they're just living as humans. So now going out, it would make sense.
Yeah, some people know a little bit, but how would you defend against a demon? How would you kill a ghost or whatever? I mean, although the problem should be like, yeah, you just have to find their bones and dig them up and then salt and burn them. That's not an optimal thing to put in a book and publish. But, I mean, that would be good, I think. That cop who was convinced that dude was a zombie in that Prometheus episode, now he would read that book, live by it.
Yeah, I mean, he could have shot the guy in the head. The guy would have just came back to life.
Well, he didn't see him, so he couldn't.
Yeah. I was like, oh, disarm. I was like, disarray? Being able to disarray that dumb kid?
Disarm.
Like, disarray.
It's really challenging, Dean Winchester. What a joke.
Yeah, these children challenging Dean Winchester, and Dean just says, don't threaten me. And Aiden's like, oh, what are you going to do about it?
It's like, oh, that's really good. Yeah. What are you going to do about it,
I bud? Do like that Chrissy didn't undermine the boys, though, because of what happened, like her relationship that she had with them last time.
She's not stupid.
I think she's like, nah, we can't.
These are serious people. I did love their Dead Man's Blood darts.
To be fair,
hello?
They were innovated. I gotta give it to Victor. He was stupid and dumb and going about this the wrong way. Mm-hmm. However, he wanted to make a good new generation.
I mean, the cameras, the surveillance,
yeah,
the trailing them. Oh my god, it was great. I'm like, these kids are showing the boys up so hard right now.
Yeah. Like I think that's good because honestly, the cameras. I always forget that it seems odd that you would want to record yourself doing that, but for a training standpoint, that's what a lot of people do. Right. You record yourself, and then, because, you know, you can't see yourself.
Right.
You're able to look at yourself and be like, wow, that sucked. Or, oh, I need to do better in this area, or need to do this.
Yeah, and you see time. Here, this is right here. You made your mistake here. And that's why he was able to get the jump on you.
Like, yeah, and so like you're that. Like, oh, yes, I understand. I this makes more sense.
Yeah, so they can survive the next hunt. Mm-hmm. It is smart. It's a good idea. I love that one of the reasons Victor gives for doing all of this, though, was the Leviathans being a wake-up call.
Oh, yeah, I did think that was interesting.
I was like, oh, my God, you know what, you're right, because I always forget, you know, the world just gets sucked down into Sam and Dean's lives. Yeah. You forget about the larger scope of other hunters. And so I'm like, oh, man, yeah, if you had to, like, deal with these Leviathan things, like, you don't really know what's going on, you're not in the middle of it like Sam and Dean, that would be sort of a wake-up call.
You know what's kind of funny I just realized now? Hmm. Supernatural could not survive almost in now time. They don't really follow social media standards in now time. Because I swear to you, we talked about this with the Leviathans, that people, I think, would know about the supernatural. People would know that Sam and Dean are alive. Like, there would be the conspiracy theories. There would be all this stuff. People would dig. People do this on a daily basis about the dumbest stuff. So I think in now standpoint, like, I see stuff on the internet now. I'm like, how did you figure this out? And they have, like, ABCD list of reasons why this is true with video evidence. And I'm like, how did you get this?
Mr. Ronald and the Mandroids would be like, Sam and Dean Winchester are all alive. And
seriously.
To prove it.
Yeah, seriously. So it's funny to me now that they brought up all this stuff about how we were just saying how the world doesn't know about monsters, but I'm like, you know what? I feel like half the population just knows about monsters. It just doesn't do anything about it. Or the world is stupid, which wouldn't be surprising because people are idiots.
Either way, you know.
I didn't think I had a lot to say about this episode, but apparently we did about this generation thing.
We had a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, talked it out.
That's okay. Next episode was Taxi Driver. I knew that this was an important episode because Taxi Driver. I know Supernatural names. I remember looking at them being like, this is an important episode. I could not figure out why. And then they get into it about the next trial. It's to save a soul from hell and bring it to heaven.
An innocent soul.
Was that really what they said?
Yeah.
I thought it was just get a soul from
innocent
hell.
Innocent soul.
Oh.
And that's why that weird bloody lady was like, I'm innocent. And I feel like that was trying to, you know, she's trying to convince him. I don't know. That's just what the lady in the chains... Rylan, do you remember that? Yeah, it's an innocent soul from hell. It's why they went to get Bobby. Also, who the hell were they going to get? They were like, we'll get an innocent soul. And they hadn't talked. We hadn't seen them talk about it. And so I was like, who the hell are they just going to... Are you just going to grab somebody? You don't know them. You don't know their story. They're innocent, so they deserve to be in heaven. But for some reason, they're in hell. So you need to snatch them. Send them on their way.
Okay, no, they said innocent soul on here. But I took it as... Like, not innocent in the sense of...
Innocent. They need to be rescued from hell. That was the whole point of rescuing someone.
Yes. Innocent as in, like, they need to be rescued.
Yeah.
Like not...
For the concept?
Like, not innocent in the terms of innocent and guilty.
I just meant, like, the thing of, like, oh, I shouldn't be here. I should be in heaven. Like, they weren't genuinely sent down there.
No, I don't think that's what the trial was asking, what you're saying. I think the girl on the wall was saying, like, I'm innocent, to be like, yes, please remove me from this place.
Yeah, exactly. She was trying to say that, but that's not why they're there.
They just need to pull a soul from hell, pretty much. It didn't have to be a damned soul, I think is why they said innocent. A non-damned soul. So they couldn't take someone whose
demon,
soul...
Basically.
No.
Already corrupt?
No. Whose soul they signed off. Who made a demon deal? That's not innocent. You chose that.
Okay.
And that's a damned soul, I would say. But when I took innocent, it was more of, like I said, not guilty. Innocent in the terms of not innocent and guilty, but innocent as in kind of what you were saying about not deserving to be there.
Right, like Bobby deserved to be in heaven, but because of like...
Crowley.
Yeah.
He was, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just, there is only the one innocent word, and it's like trying to split hairs with that. But yeah, Bobby didn't belong in hell. There was a thing. Crowley was like, you're on hell. And so he was like snatched and put there. They got to bring him back up. So he goes where he belongs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't Buck Lemming write this episode?
Yes, this is another surprisingly decent Buck Lemming episode.
So after we go through this, I actually just want to go through this way. Because I think it's interesting. Knowing Buck Lemming and what they do.
Right.
And how they write. And how they add stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they kill people.
Yeah.
This makes complete sense for a Buck Lemming episode.
Right. It just ended up being
it
good.
It just happens to be okay.
It just made sense this time.
Yeah. But honestly, if you look at this in the weird way, they added stuff to the canon. They killed someone. They did weird ideas. Well, they added weird stuff to the canon a lot, though.
No, I'm just counting in this episode. Like, yeah. The Rogue Reapers, there's a portal to hell.
Yeah.
That you have to go through purgatory to get to.
So, yeah, let's break it down. So, yeah, there's a Rogue Reaper that apparently can travel. That took Bobby's soul. Didn't make any sense because I was like, this just, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, oh, I reaped him.
Little odd. Yeah, yeah. Little odd. And then he didn't send him to heaven. Again, weird, because Crowley took Bobby's soul to hell.
Right.
That's odd that we'd never heard about this until now. But again, so that makes sense in my eyes for Buck Lemming.
That's fair, yeah. So what are we up to, like, three now?
Yeah, there's a portal to hell through purgatory.
Right.
Odd. And then Reapers can get through there and all that stuff.
That's not, we'll leave it. Yeah, you're right, because.
How can a Reaper travel to purgatory? Isn't that where they go when they die? That doesn't make any sense. Reapers aren't reaping
Reapers
things.
Reapers are like,
Reapers aren't reaping, parties. But Reapers aren't reaping anything in purgatory. Why do they need to go there?
You don't have to need to go there, but they physically can travel between hell and heaven, like the dimensions, and so.
Yeah, hell and heaven.
Sense,
no,
it
no,
would
no,
make
but,
sense that they could also travel, in theory, to purgatory. Not no, that they ever would or need
why
to.
Why can't demons, then? If demons could get to hell, you would think that they could get to purgatory.
Do demons go to heaven?
They've never tried. We've never heard about that, though. I think angels can go to hell, though. So
well, obviously, angels can go to hell.
Because they have defensive. So I wonder if an angel, maybe, or demons.
A demon army could maybe, like, infiltrate heaven?
Yeah. But they never say that. That's my whole thing. It was a little odd that they've never brought that up again. So it was a little weird. Because to me, Crowley couldn't get to purgatory. So.
Well, he didn't know where purgatory was. He knew it was hell adjacent, but he didn't know, like, the portal to get in there. That was his problem, to find the door to purgatory.
Oh, it's a little odd to me that just now that they're bringing up. Again, Buck Lemming. But anyway. Sure.
I also thought it was kind of weird that Naomi was able to find Dean in a weird sort of canon way, just because he's got angel warning on his ribs. Both he and Sam do.
Yeah, but I think it was the whole thing. How wasn't he on the boat?
Oh, but she could probably find.
Wasn't he on the boat, though?
Yeah, he was on the boat. You're right.
So in
they probably know where Kevin is because I don't think Cass gave
so
him angel wording.
In my mind, well, yeah, they didn't give him angel wording.
Right, and there was no angel wording there. There's nothing
so
on Kevin.
You have
so
to think, technically, if they were to run, you wouldn't be able to find them. However, they know that Kevin's stationed there because there's no warding there. They're not stupid. So right. It's pretty easy to pop in the few places the Winchesters would be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I just thought, I'm like, is that another weird thing? But then I'm like, no, there wasn't any angel warding and. They would probably know where the prophet is.
Yeah. So the other odd thing, I think, is that they bring Benny back. We haven't seen Benny in forever, right?
Right.
They bring him back. Again, only to what? To kind of kill him.
Yeah.
In this way that it seems really odd to me to bring the character back just to kill him for a plot-related death.
God, they really did, though.
Right?
Like, Dean was like, I'm breaking up with you. I'm never talking to you again. And then all of a sudden, Dean has to call him for this absurd favor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And of course, Benny shows up to help him. And then, oh my God, you're right. And
yeah,
the way to do it
is
he has to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm shook. I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, it was a little weird for that. That's the thing that made me angry.
God, I hate when they
was because, yeah, because that's totally a Buck Lemming thing. That is totally a Buck Lemming thing. They added canon and they killed a character for plot purposes only. And to kind of be a shock, too, for the drama of
it. They could have figured out a way to get Sam out of there without bringing Benny in and killing him.
And it sucks too because I understand Benny's reasoning, and Benny's death, I think, to me, isn't the worst death because I can see the logic of it.
Right.
Because you see Benny struggling. I wish we saw more of it.
I know.
In his reason of wanting to stay. And but we know that Dean even liked purgatory because, like, even him, Benny said it was pure, so it made sense of why he'd want to go back because it's really hard. And Benny doesn't want to hurt Dean by going back on human blood,
right?
From the source,
right? And I mean, he doesn't want to kill people anymore anyway,
yeah.
So, oh man, you're right, though. I mean, that is just such a supernatural trope, though, to just bring someone back just to murder them. And they could have figured it out if they wanted to. They're famous
yeah.
for just doing weird stuff to solve a problem
yeah.
that we've never heard of before.
Yeah.
And they totally could have done that here. But instead, they make us sad and bring poor Benny back just to murder him.
Well, also, listen, I'm going
to
follow
to make Dean murder him.
Also, I thought this was interesting. Also, okay, you when we talked about Betty beforehand, you kind of forgot because you thought Betty died in that episode with Martin.
Listen, bud, I blocked this out. I knew he didn't
because I knew he stayed in purgatory. I blocked it out of how he got to purgatory.
Yeah.
And you later on were like, oh, I think Dean kills him. And
I was like,
that's stupid. That's not true. And then I was like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that's why I was so messed up.
Yeah, that was really...
That was hard. That was a hard scene.
Listen, I hate this because, first of all, Dean just called Benny as a favor to, listen, go get my brother. You're going to come back. It's fine. I don't want to do this, but please do this. Please do this. And Benny kind of knows that it is goodbye. He is struggling, and he's trying to tell this to Dean. Of course, Dean's not hearing it because, I don't know, does he have abandonment issues?
I was going to say the abandonment issues again.
So he's like, no, Benny's not flipping leaving me. We may have broke up. We're just on a break.
Bro, listen. His other boyfriend's gone crazy. He's being controlled by Naomi. He needs Benny back, okay?
No,
he needs someone
seriously.
To, like, center him.
Which is really sad because, and see, this is why Benny and Dean's relationship is also really different because... Benny, again, see, listen. I will never get over this because Lisa said to Dean that she knows she could never compare to Sam because Sam and Dean's relationship is so specific and so
intense.
Yeah, I was going to say codependent too.
I mean, yeah.
And she knows that. And but either way, she was still jealous of the fact. It doesn't matter if she didn't want to be and she knew she couldn't be, but she was always going to be jealous of that fact. Benny and Cass No, they can't be jealous of that relationship.
They accept
this weird dynamic that Sam and Dean have, that to the point where Benny could have just been like, screw you, Dean Winchester, I'm never going to talk to you again, I'm going to be going killing humans again, screw you. But he knows and cares about Dean so much that he would go help him for his brother who tried to kill him and his brother who hates him.
That's true.
But he did this for Dean.
Yeah.
And no other reason because of this weird codependent relationship. And knew that I'm going to die anyway. But you know what? I'm going to help my best friend out.
This really works out in my favor. Kind of like when Dean wouldn't get himself killed.
Yeah.
But he would do it to save people.
Yeah. So it's just always bananas to me about this relationship for Sam and Dean. And people are always just trying to get between them. But Benny and Cass, I'm going to say, for future on to,
sure.
And going back to. But they always knew that they couldn't get in between this. Because Benny even says, I understand, it's your brother. It's your brother. Like, of course you're going to do this. I understand. And then even after, you know, this like hug that Benny and Dean share, he even says, like, don't worry about it, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thinking that they're brothers, but he knows that it's different, though.
Right, because it is different.
Also, the thing is, though, my notes on this was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because Benny sounded so upset and everything he said to Dean, my notes on this and my only notes on this was Benny being hella gay for Dean. That's all I wrote. Because what he was saying, I was like, Benny, listen.
Oh, when he got Dean's call, I was like, oh my God, it's so good to hear your voice. So glad. Totally. I'll help you out with anything. That kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so hyped to get your voice. It's been so long. All this stuff.
It's just good to see you, bud. Like, I'm having a great time.
Oh,
let's chop my head off.
My God. Literally. I was dying. Benny, it's a little gay.
It is a little bit gay. But we love and respect Benny in this house.
Listen, I also
and
do
his
not
sacrifice.
I do not want to diminish a good, healthy relationship between two straight males. And I think a lot of people always forget this because I keep seeing posts about this, about I want those healthy relationships. But guess what? We can't have either. So cut us some slack. Like,
no, we don't get any of it. So it's just like we have to like pick and choose, I guess, here.
Listen, I'm only teasing too. I do agree. I don't really ship Denny.
Well, is that right? Is that their ship name?
Is that their ship name?
I think it is.
Between Benny and Dean.
I think it is.
But I do like this relationship, this bond, this brother bond between Benny and Dean, who is not blood like Sam and Dean.
Well, it's just nice that Dean has another friend.
He has another person he can find into that isn't Sam.
He can kind of be his true self with.
Yes.
The hunting and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Like, that's hard for Dean. He wants those types of relationships, but it's hard for him in this life to have them. And the only one he's ever successfully had was with his brother.
Yes. And now he's branching out and can branch out.
I'm proud of him. This is growth, honey.
And Dean is so upset once he has to kill Benny.
I don't want to talk about his face.
He is heartbroken because I don't think he knows if he was going to stay or not.
He knew.
I think He was just upset that he had to do it for Sam. I think that's another thing for Dean, is that he knows that their relationship, Sam and Dean's relationship, is so messed up.
Oh, yeah.
That he has to do that. And I think that also makes Dean really upset.
I think it's also that he's willing to sacrifice literally anybody
for Sam. Yeah.
His friends, himself.
Yeah. Yep.
Whatever it is.
And I think that's really heartbreaking for Dean of, oh my gosh, I can't get over this. This sucks so much. He can't do it. I just can't right now.
There's nothing he can do to stop it. It's always just, I will do literally anything in my power to save Sam or help Sam or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. It sucks.
I know. And he's,
poor Dean.
I know. He's just like, I really hate that I'm doing this and that I feel like I have no choice to do this because I don't, because it's Sam.
I think it's just the guilt too. Just eats him alive.
Oh, absolutely.
And again, abandonment issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
At least this time, I guess. Yeah. See, he was like, yeah, he'll come back. He'll come back, but he doesn't come back.
God, that killed me. Did we even see that when Sam's like, he didn't come back? And Dean's like,
he didn't make it.
Abandonment issues.
Yeah.
Well, it sucks too, because then you don't know if Sam maybe just left him on purpose. But Sam, I think, was like, no, he didn't want to come back. What?
Both his boyfriends picked purgatory over him.
Oh my God, you're right.
Dean, honey, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, you're totally right.
Dude, you literally, when you said that, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Again, they picked purgatory over him. Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so even if you don't ship anything, regardless of the fact, here's proof from the text. Cass abandoned Dean to live in purgatory, and then Benny abandoned Dean to live in purgatory.
Abandonment issues.
I mean, listen, Dean has valid abandonment
issues. Oh, no, they're absolutely valid. It's like, just like Jesus, it continues Christ to happen to this poor man, and there's nothing he could do about
it. Well, Cass is gone, too. So, of course, probably Dean prayed to him, and the Cass is not responding. So he's like, oh, my God, everyone is leaving me again. Oh, my gosh. Also, Kevin left. That was the other thing about this episode, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because Kevin left. So he's like, oh, my God, everyone's just leaving me left and right.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Dean was a little harsh on him.
I mean, no, you're not wrong.
His pep talks are not good. Dean, honey, soften your edges a little
bit. Listen. It just was not good.
At least he brought him burger and fries, and he let him eat his pie that he was clearly so excited about.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Again, it's a kid thing.
I know. He loves feeding people. Oh, my God. He totally does.
Back to a little bit earlier on the episode, other than Benny, there was another thing as we're kind of talking about Dean's relationship. Let's go on to Dean's relationship with Cass, because Naomi comes in to talk, which I find this very interesting. And this is more of maybe reading into this for the Dean and Cass relationship as a romantic relationship. But either way, this is what Dean's feelings are, and they're validated, I think, with Naomi and what she says in here. So Naomi goes to the ship, right? This is what we said. And I think it's interesting because Dean is kind of humoring her, even though he knows how bad Naomi is. But with Cass in the air and Naomi is asking about Cass, he's kind of just, like I said, humoring her on what she wants to say to him. And maybe he can get more information on what Naomi did to Cass and what she and her plans are and what Heaven's plans are.
He's trying to suss her out, see what's going on with her.
Yes. And I think it's very interesting that Dean does that, because normally I think he would just shoot first, ask questions later. But I think he is a little worried about Cass.
Oh, he's big time worried about Cass.
Because again, he even says, I don't trust angels. So screw you. Go leave. But Naomi says, why didn't you ward this place against angels then? Because you wanted Cass to come back, right?
Yeah, this is facts. He doesn't trust angels, that's correct. But he does trust Cass.
So what is Cass? Cass is not an angel to him?
No.
I think it's the whole thing. He's just different.
He's just Cass.
He's not an angel. And that was really interesting that he even says, I don't trust angels. Mm-hmm. As a very specific race.
Entire species.
I don't trust angels. So you'd think that you wouldn't trust Cass. And maybe he is kind of feeding that a little bit because it's hard for him to trust Cass right now.
Right.
But I think inherently he knows he can always trust Cass because it's different. Because to him, which is odd because remember, angels were powerful and perfect to Dean. So right. I think it's weird that he says he doesn't trust any angels, but yet he trusts Cass. So it's interesting about this weird parallel.
Well, I mean, he saw it firsthand in Goodbye Stranger. When it comes down to it, Cass is who he is. He's just Cass. He's not the angel that anyone can truly properly control. Yeah. Cass is him, and he and Dean are friends, bonded, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that will always be important. That will always have an effect on him. And so at the end of the day, Dean, besides season 6, can pretty much always rely on Cass.
I think it's really interesting, too, because Naomi came there because she knows how much Dean cares for Cass.
All the angels do.
All of them do. So I think she thinks that she can go there and kind of toy with Dean a little bit.
We're trying to help him.
We're trying to help him.
We want the same thing. We want Cass to be okay.
We want to find him. We want to close the gates of hell. Yeah. She made it very one-sided. Oh, yeah. We want to close the gates of hell, mm-hmm. and we want to find Castiel. Those are the two things that she said. That is what you want, Dean Winchester.
So I'm going to say that's what I want. That's all we're trying to do here. Dean's like, no.
I see where you're playing with, yeah.
I don't think so, honey.
Well, and that was what it was interesting, because when Naomi brings up the warding, Dean does want Cass to come back. It's that whole thing of, why have you never warded against this stuff? Because I think if it was warded, Cass could come back. He's not stupid. He could find the place. Like, he's been there before.
Yeah, and then he would just call Dean and be like, dude, let me in. I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's interesting because he knows that he doesn't want to have to call for Cass, because, of course, Dean Winchester can't talk about feelings. So he wouldn't be like, hey, buddy, we need you. Come back here. He wants to feel that he didn't ask Cass to come. Cass just showed up with his own.
Oh, you mean free will. You mean the root of their annoying dynamic of Dean can't ask Cass to stay because he needs Cass to decide to stay with him because abandonment issues. But Cass needs to be asked to stay because he doesn't know how accepted he is. Yeah. And like, if this is... Oh my God, they're a mess.
I know. Well, that's what Naomi, and see, that's why I think Naomi is just toying with Dean, because after this whole speech about Dean caring about Cass and yada, 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 and she says something like, I respect that. I wish he felt the same way about you, which is really interesting. See, I think that's why Naomi is toying with him, which is an obvious of, you want to help Cass back. Let's get him back. Let's get him back without him knowing. Let's get him back. Even though he doesn't want to, because it's good for him, and this is what we say is good for him. I know that you care for him more than he cares for you, and trying to, like, pull this weird bullshit on.
Naomi, he broke the connection. What are you not getting about this?
Okay.
Dean was there.
That was the funniest thing. What broke the connection? They get it. I don't know. I'm like,
dude. I don't know. Honey, shut up.
I don't know.
Poof. I'm going to disappear for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Naomi was just, she's so stupid.
The little bit left of this episode was getting Bobby out of hell. I did love when Sam gets Bobby out of hell. Oh, it's Bobby again. It's Bobby. Bobby. It's the same dude. It's so great. He, get out of here. Then, you know, Sam obviously knows everything about Bobby, and I absolutely love that.
Hold on. Tori Spelling? Pedicure? Come on, Bobby. It's me.
And even when the demon later on, like, transform as Sam, Bobby, oh my gosh, how did you know it was me?
You knew for sure.
You knew, right? 50-50. Sam's like, what? What?
I was like, Bobby, rude.
I know.
God, I love it, but that's such a Bobby move.
Well, I love, too, when Bobby also met Benny, and Bobby is shaketh about, Dean, a vampire? Wow, you two really went off the rails when I was gone.
Yeah, oh my God, I thought that was so funny. I'm like, oh, Bobby, honey, you missed a lot.
He hasn't even been gone that long.
I know.
He's been gone for like...
Hey, but there's been a whole extra year because Dean was in purgatory for a year.
So he's been gone for a year and a half. And all this has happened in a year.
Big oof.
They have gone off the goddamn rails.
They've been through a lot in a year and a half, Bobby, okay?
I don't know. It was just funny to me. And I was happy Bobby was able to go to heaven after Crowley was going to be like, no, come back here, Bobby Singer. Which it was funny that he was like talking to him, being like, oh, that's rude.
The only good thing Naomi does.
Yeah, lets Bobby go.
That's it.
And I think that's why Naomi is trying to get them on their side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, playing the angle.
Totally playing her strengths and, you know, all that kind of thing. Trying to manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still glad that it worked out in Bobby's favor.
Yes, it did. He gets to go to heaven now.
Hooray, where he belongs.
Mm-hmm. We already did kind of mention this about Kevin going crazy and leaving.
Yeah.
That was at the end of the episode more, because that's what we see.
Right.
But we had to confirm, because honestly I couldn't remember if Crowley showed up in the end or Kevin was just losing his puppet mind.
Because Kevin was hearing Crowley, which I think you had to mention. Yeah, he kept hearing him in his head. Mm-hmm. That was scary. I didn't like that.
Yeah. That was not fun.
No, Kevin, honey, take a nap.
But we do believe that Kevin just ran off because he's losing his mind. Crowley did not take him unless the creators of Supernatural really suck and can't do continuity right. Because at the end, the glass was shattered when Crowley came in the boat. And then when Sam Dean came in, all the glass was together. So
right. So I was just like, okay.
I think he didn't leave. Also, either... Crowley said Mama Tran was dead, and I don't think Mama Tran is dead. I didn't think she was.
She isn't.
I was pretty sure about that. But then I was also like, is this right? I don't remember. I don't know
enough about Supernatural Season 8 to dispute it. I know.
And then again, it's that whole thing with Ash again of, I don't want to confirm on IMDb. I
know. You're like, you know what? I don't want to know until I have to know.
Yeah, seriously.
After Benny saves Sam and Bobby, sort of sacrifices himself, even though he wanted to stay, I think it's very nice of Sam that he tells Dean later that he gets it. He gets why Benny was so important to Dean. He gets why Benny was different. And I think that really meant a lot to Dean. It's like, oh, that's nice that now that my bestie's dead, you're just gonna tell me that you get it. So at least there's not that tension there anymore.
Okay, I think that is it for this episode. I didn't think I was going to have a lot to say this episode, but apparently we did, but I guess...
Well, there were two big episodes.
There were two big episodes, yeah. Thought
there was only one, so...
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at HunterHosts. Check out our ratings for every episode and see where they fall in our ranking. We are your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We are driving off, and we will see you all next time in our rearview mirror.
Bye.